Addendum tape. The supply of tapes ran out before this memo was read aloud at the meeting. The discussion following the reading cannot be reproduced. The memo is from Jeff Altman. It was addressed to Barbara Walker with copies to Amy Beresch and Carlos Servan. It was sent Monday, November 24th, 2003. The subject is comments on the Board of Commissioners meeting from November 22nd of 2003. Memorandum to Barbara Walker, Chair, Board of Commissioners, the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. CC to Amy Beresch, President, Carlos Servan, immediate past president. From Jeff Altman, First Vice President, the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska. Regarding comments on the meeting of the Board of Commissioners for the Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired, November 22, 2003. Date, November 24, 2003. Regarding the format of the meetings. Since the size of the agenda at these meetings is sometimes very large and may at times have topics that will lead to controversy, we suggest that setting specific time frames for the length of the presentation of reports and the question and answer period to follow the presentations may be helpful. Should there be indications that such controversial issues will appear on the agenda, additional time could be planned for these considerations and for those issues which unexpectedly require additional time. They could be further discussed during the time set aside for open forum, handled through telephone or email contacts, or placed on the agenda of the next meeting. This may help to assure that those issues that are of critical concern will receive proper consideration and in a timely manner. Agency website and listserv. In order to assure fairness and equality of access to both of the primary consumer organizations to the distribution of their information and materials, since both organizations on a national and state level have their own websites, should either be provided with equal space to provide this information each month through the agency's listserv, with each being clearly identified as the source of this information, or preferably, since this would be difficult to assure, simply having links available on each listserv email that would allow direct access to the respective websites. No materials provided through either the NCBVI website or its listserv should be presented in such a manner that it can be perceived as reflecting either the policies or beliefs of NCBVI without the prior approval of the Executive Director or the Board of Commissioners. The function of role models in the training process. Before we can really consider the importance of role modeling in the rehabilitation process, we need to know something about the manner in which people tend to view the world. There is a growing body of evidence from the field of psychology that people learn at a much deeper level from the things they experience than they do from the things they are either told or choose to read about. This means they learn more from their interactions with the environment and the behavior of others, often without realizing that they are learning. This fact is made more complex because they are usually unaware that they have acquired this new knowledge and often cannot even verbalize this knowledge to any meaningful degree. This type of learning occurs all of the time, and along with the new knowledge associated with it, psychologists refer to it as being, quote, implicit, end quote. Therefore, there is much truth in the statement, quote, our actions speak more loudly than our words, end quote. Based upon this learning through experience, they tend to view the various aspects of the world around them as fixed, that is, that things are the way their experiences have taught them to believe they are and not likely to change. In fact, research from psychology indicates that our belief systems will implicitly determine those things to which we will pay attention and those things that we will tend to ignore. Often when we pay attention to something that does not fit with our beliefs, it is for the purpose of finding a reason to discredit such information. If there are only a few examples that run counter to our beliefs that we cannot discredit, we will often tend to label them as exceptions to the rule rather than potential evidence that our beliefs are wrong. The beliefs regarding blindness by most people, including the majority of blind people before receiving proper training, can hardly be described as positive. Since these beliefs are based on experience, they are unlikely to be easily changed, except through an extensive and wide variety of experiences that directly challenge these myths and misconceptions. This is where the need for positive role models becomes very clear. There are a number of issues to be recognized in regard to the manner in which staff members of any agency serving the blind will function as role models for the people they serve. In this regard, blind staff members are in both a very opportune and challenging position. On one hand, they are perhaps best equipped to present a living example of how ordinary persons that are blind can lead successful, meaningful, and fulfilling lives as equals to their normally sighted counterparts. On the other hand, these same people find themselves in a circumstance in which they cannot simply walk away from this role modeling activity at any time during the work day, or, for that matter, even at the end of the day, since they could potentially find themselves at any time during the course of their private lives having to educate members of the general public or being observed by agency consumers or their families. This is the responsibility that most blind counselors and instructors working for the Commission appear to accept very readily, well understanding both the responsibility and burden it can at times become. This having been said, there are factors in the manner in which role modeling should be conducted and who should share in the responsibility of functioning as role models that should be clarified and emphasized by NCBVI as an agency. Blind staff members should not be viewed as having the sole responsibility for providing role modeling for the agency's consumers, and indeed, to this end, the agency has apparently had a long practice of involving consumers as role models for the people the agency serves. However, it is beyond this point that there appear to be reasons that concerns need to be raised. Clearly, normally sighted staff members, as counselors and instructors, have an equal responsibility to function as role models during the rehabilitation process, but there appears to be some question as to whether this is occurring at NCBVI to such an extent as to best serve consumers. Also, the type of assignments given to blind staff members can either provide or deny them the opportunity for proper role modeling. Finally, the consumers asked to act as role models should be based upon not only their type of employment or activities, but also their personal levels of independence and beliefs regarding blindness. There are a number of role modeling functions that can be very effectively handled by normally sighted staff members of an agency serving the blind. They can serve as a role model to both blind persons and their immediate family and social circle as to what are the proper expectations that a normally sighted person should hold for someone that is blind. A common example of this would be to have the family members observe without becoming directly involved as the counselor displays complete confidence in the consumer while that individual independently works through a challenge during a lesson. The normally sighted instructor can implicitly reinforce the consumer's belief in the effectiveness of the non-visual alternatives by teaching or otherwise functioning on a frequent and regular basis while personally utilizing the sleep shades to carry out everyday tasks from start to finish. The normally sighted instructor can further reinforce consumer acceptance and belief in the alternative techniques by personally utilizing them on a regular basis. For example, staff members that normally drive should utilize public transportation, taxi services, or hire drivers when possible to travel to appointments. Even walking with the cane under sleep shades to nearby appointments or using Braille to take notes at meetings should be practiced whenever possible, since it not only provides good opportunities for role modeling for consumers, but helps staff members to maintain their skills. Concerns that may be expressed that these actions may interfere with effective service delivery would tend to be difficult to justify if there is a sincere belief on the part of the agency that the services delivered by staff members who rely solely on those non-visual techniques to conduct their jobs are equal to those provided by staff members who rely on visually based techniques. Also, concerns that this would create a greater demand upon an already stretched budget is not necessarily correct, considering that using public transportation and even taxicabs is less expensive than operating a private motor vehicle, would reduce both the mileage and maintenance for agency vehicles, and might even reduce the need for as many vehicles in the agency's fleet. Utilizing drivers could, for local appointments, free up vehicles, allowing for more effective delivery of services to other consumers as well, since one driver could transport several counselors to their appointments utilizing only one vehicle, and allowing that same vehicle to be available for yet other duties. The agency can do much to present opportunities which would allow blind staff members to be more effective role models for consumers. This means that whenever possible, blind staff members and temporary employees who are blind should be taking a predominant role in planning, organizing, and conducting agency programs. In fact, it would be appropriate for at least one program each year to be managed from start to finish by only blind staff members, since this would, for those consumers directly affected by this program, remove any question as to the ability of blind persons to successfully assume such a degree of responsibility. Also, during these programs, no matter what their overall intent, when circumstances lead to an opportunity to provide consumers with knowledge and understanding of either a positive philosophy of blindness or techniques which would contribute to an improved quality of life for those consumers, full advantage should be taken of these situations to provide these services, and even encouraged when an individual need is apparent. It should also be understood that role modeling isn't something that staff members do only for consumers. It is also something that is very important for them personally as members of the agency's team. These role modeling opportunities provide to all staff members a greater awareness of the true capabilities of blind persons and reinforce their positive philosophy of blindness. Choosing a consumer as a role model for other consumers whose behavior or beliefs regarding blindness run contrary to the agency's positive philosophy of blindness would be counterproductive to good rehabilitation practices. Therefore, whether consumers are being hired as temporary employees to staff a program or being asked to volunteer to serve as a role model for another consumer, agency staff members should select these persons based upon their clear belief in blind people, proper utilization and mastery of appropriate alternative techniques, and commitment to improving the quality of life for blind persons. While some guidance may be appropriate to assist these persons to be as effective as possible as role models, to the greatest degree possible, they should be permitted to speak for themselves through their words and actions. This completes the memo.